land.
Father, revive.
Glory, glory.
Christ is mine.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
All to him.
I now reside.
I now reside.
I have been
redeemed.
And just sing that song with a smile on your face, knowing the promises of the Lord and that precious, precious blood that He shed for each and every one of us is true and so positive. Just praise God. Just want to thank Him tonight for His love. Just want to give a little quick testimony. I know I want to thank y'all for your prayers. Lane and I kind of slipped away for the weekend and had a wonderful opportunity to kind of do some, just some, not only just to get away, but to make some plans and just put a direction in. And you know, I was kind of thinking as we talk, and this is my testimony, is that, you know, I know it was years ago, but when we'd go off, we had other things on our mind, just gallivanting and all that. But it's really, really, it hurts to miss church. And I know the Lord understands, and He gives us opportunity. He was with us even in our journeys and in our Bible study and all that we were doing there. But, you know, I really miss seeing y'all, and I really miss the way y'all uplift me. And I just want to thank y'all and just say how blessed I am to be part of a wonderful church. Wonderful church. Praise the Lord. Just praise God. Amen. We're going to take up our evening offering. And don't forget about Wednesday night offering. It goes to our Good Samaritan Fund. And it is just wonderful how God just continues to bless and just to anoint everything that we do. All of our ministries and all the other activities that go forward. But just keep that in mind and just keep in prayer that we'll be in God's will. Brother Bitsy, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering tonight. Amen. Brother Jim, if you'd come after her, then Sister Tabitha, please. Praise the Lord.
Didn't know why, and then I felt guilty because I was depressed and I didn't have any reason to be depressed. I got everything in the world that I need. The Lord's good to me. Anyway, I was just in a funk. But anyway, the Lord touched me, and I mean, it was, it. I still, you know, how you just say, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm good. But I'm telling you, Thursday morning when I got up, it was a completely different world. So I just thank the Lord for His blessings. He knows what we need, even though, you know, we don't know why we're where we are, you know, what we're going through. But and of course mine was nothing compared to what a lot of other people are going through, but I'd still just thank him for everything, for hearing our little problems and our big problems and what we think are big problems. But anyway, the song Jesus Use Me, that's my song. I want him to use me to lead someone else to him. I talk too long.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. Let's get the Lord. You got the pink? You got that one?
Pink. My favorite color, pink.
We got it? All right.
Good.
Oh, that's a good sign, isn't it? The mic works. I never know when I get up here what's going to happen, you know? So, you know, I was listening to Brother Jim a while ago. I've been gone the last two Sundays, and I tell you, it's hard to be missing church on Sunday, especially when you miss two Sundays back to back, you know? Then make the third one a little bit easier to miss, and so on. But thank goodness we got Wednesday night. So,
amen.
I don't know. I couldn't have went this long if I had Wednesday night. But it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Okay. While we're waiting on that, I was telling Brother Eddie this morning, I don't know if you any of us seen it on Facebook, I reposted a message on there and I thought it was really good. And it said, Jesus wanted full custody, not weekend visits. And I sent that out just to see how many people would respond. It was amazing. It took them a while to think about what it really meant. But then all of a sudden I got these messages coming back to me. There we go. That's right. If we just get music. But anyway, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord on Wednesday. You know, I look around. There's so many churches that don't have service on Wednesday night. It's unbelievable. And then there's those that don't have it on Sunday night. And I just don't understand how they can get the fulfillment they need by that 1 hour in the morning. And it's just sad to see these church doors closed, you know, for so many hours throughout the week, you know. But we're grateful. We don't have that problem here. You got me fired up. I'm ready. My soul in sad exile was our own life sea, so burdened with sin and distress. Till I heard a sweet voice saying, make your choice. Then I entered the haven of grace. I went to my Savior in the haven of rest. I'll say, though I seems no more, the tempter's mercy. Oh, the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm saved evermore. I yield myself to His tender embrace. Faith taking hold of the
soul in the haven of rest is my Lord. I thank my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wide stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I thank my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wide stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe
Okay, so I'm scared to do the CD back there, so I think I'm just going to go a different route. But I do want to testify. I couldn't wait to get to church. I didn't want to post anything on Facebook because I just wanted to share with y'all how good God is. Today, Chris went to the doctor. He had to go to the hematologist. And we've been waiting several weeks for this blood work to come back. She did several tests to see why he was clotting. So when we went today, she said, I have good news for you. She said, I couldn't find not one reason why you were clotting. She said, the only reason why I can say that you were clotting is because you took an 1,800 mile trip, and that's what caused you to get clots in your legs. So there is no reason why he should ever, ever get another clot. So he just has to wear his compression pantyhose. I tease him about it when we go on a long trip, which he's been wearing them at work and things like that. But his blood pressure today was 124 over 63, the best it's been in a long, long time. And it's been really, really high. So God is working on his body, and I'm so thankful. He's not here tonight because he had to take off work today. So he's doing work at home right now to catch everybody up, because he has over 130-something people, and it's hard when the boss is gone. Everybody just kind of wants to lag. So he's trying to get everybody caught up and all the paperwork and stuff for tonight. So he's at home working right now. So I just couldn't wait to get to church and tell y'all how good God is.
Of a wide raging river, trusting that I'd get across. I made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. And I stood at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. Trial, each test and temptation, one thing is sure every time. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, he's made me able to stand and serve. God does what He says He will do. I simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing He won't help me through. So why should I dwell on the hardships and struggles when I look just beyond them? I see the way this will end is a great celebration, and deep in my heart I believe. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, He's made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. But Jesus is with me, so I'll claim the victory over and over again. Stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. But Jesus is with me, so I'll claim the victory.
Up again.
That's powerful.
Yes, amen.
Over and over again. Yes, sir. Praise God.
If the bank of a wide raging river, trusting that I get across. I've made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. And I've been at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. Trial, each test and temptation, one thing is sure every time. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, He's made me able. Jesus is with me, so I'll claim the victory over and over again. Hardships and struggles, when I look just beyond them, I see the way this will end is a great celebration, and deep in my heart I believe. Over and over, again and again, God is able. Over and over, again and again, through it all, He's made me able to stand and survive.
God is love. We need to love one another.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's good to see you tonight. Brother Jim was talking about missing two Sundays. I'm going to give him two messages tonight, so get him caught up. Amen. God's good, isn't he? All the time. What a great God. The Bible said great and greatly to be praised. Now, he's got the great part down. I don't know if we got the greatly praised yet. Amen. We haven't reached that point yet where we're greatly praised him. I saw a message title from a wonderful man of God said, praise is not a choice. Amen. It's a commandment. Amen. We need to praise the Lord, whether we're good or bad situation, whatever it is. And how many loves prayer? Tomorrow is National Prayer Day. Amen. Isn't it good to know the nation's finally going to do what Christians have been doing every day or need to be doing every day? So let's not forget, why don't we go ahead and kick it off and start it tonight? Just go ahead and pray and just start that day off tomorrow of a National Day of Prayer. God is, I believe God will answer prayer, and I hope it's not just a routine. I hope people, when they really pray for God's will to be done. If tomorrow's a National Day of Prayer, I'm just imagining there are going to be a lot of people wanting to ask the Lord for this and that and this and that. Oh, Lord, give me this and that. But wouldn't it be nice if just the whole nation said, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And the Lord is straightening all this mess out, wouldn't he? Amen. Before we get into tonight's message, we want to make an announcement. We want to, with your permission and with your cooperation, we feel led to receive a love offering Sunday for the family of Sister Judy Williams. Now, you say, Brother Eddie, she hadn't passed. No, she hasn't, but she's very low. The doctors basically have cut off all the medicine according to her will. She wants to go home. The last cognizant thing that she was saying, I don't want to take any more of the medicine. If I quit breathing, do not revive me. I want to go home. She's tired. She's fought a lot of battles, been a great, great saint of God. But now it's when the Lord gets ready. But her sister's here, and they want to take her, on Sister Judy's request, want to take her back to Kentucky where her family is. That's where she wants to be buried. So we probably will try to have some type of memorial service in the future whenever the Lord sees fit for that time. But I just think the need is now. For the finances, for the two children. I call them children. Emily and Angel, I've seen them since they were just little bitty girls. And even though that Angel, I think, is in her 20s, Judy has always been the mother hen. She's always taken care of those girls, and they're just completely lost. They don't know about finances. They don't know about house payment. They don't know about this and all the other situations. So I just kind of feel led to do that. So Sunday morning, we want to receive a love offering on behalf of Sister Judy, and we'll just go ahead and we're going to give that to her sister, her older sister, who is down from Kentucky, and let her just kind of do what she wants to with that, whatever needs they need to address. Is that okay with the church? Okay, Sunday morning, then we'll make plans to do that. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Acts. Man, I too have been on a high all day. Well, not all day, but most of the day. I've been on a ladder cleaning gutters. So, amen. It's good to be high, isn't it? Amen. That's a kind of a high that you don't have a headache from, unless you fall. And then that could, of course, the Lord would touch. But you know what? And the good thing wasn't even my gutters. It's my wife's mother's gutters. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, give him strength. Yeah. I won't hardly clean my gutters out, but I'll clean my wife's mother's gutters out. It's good to have Sister Lulabelle home. She's been in the nursing home and under some rehab, but she's home now, so we'll be much in prayer for her. Acts, the third chapter, verse number 11. Acts chapter 3, verse number 11. You get there, say, praise the Lord. The Bible reads this way, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Allow me to read that one more time. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord's blessing tonight upon his messenger? Ask God's will. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Amen. Can't praise him too much, can we? Tonight, if I had a thought, it would be this: a miracle and a sermon. A miracle and a sermon. First of all, let me address the miracle. Let me bring it up to our remembrance. Probably this is an account that each and every one of us are very familiar with. In fact, we sang about it Sunday morning. The lame man sat outside the gate, begging on from those who entered in. Peter and John came by. They didn't have any money to give him, but such as they had, they was able to give him that the Lord had equipped them with. I'm going to kind of refresh our memory, so I'm going to allow me to read that in the beginning of the first verse. Now, Peter and John went up together. Everybody say together. Yes. How many knows that we need to be together? Yes. When we pray tomorrow, we need to be together. We may not be physically together, but we can be spiritually together. Aren't you thankful to know that we can be working, we can be here, we can be there, but we can still be in one mind and one accord. If we begin to pray in reality tomorrow in an earnest prayer, I believe God's going to move. And I hope that the rest of the nation will understand that as well. But they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, everybody say a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that had entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting. Everybody say expecting. Amen. Say it again. Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people, say all the people, saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I often thought about the lame man, and I often thought about probably at this particular gate, there probably were a number of people that were relying on help from others. The Bible speaks expressly about the blind folks and how that they would get to a busy intersection or a busy roadway, and that's the way that they had of making their money or having money to make the ends meet. And they were relying on the compassion and help of the other folks. So I imagine just thinking that probably there was more than one lame man here, or more than one person that needed help. But something about this particular man, and Bible history tells us he had been there for a number of years, probably had the same spot, Brother Jim, where he would attend each and every day when the people went into the temple to pray. Probably many of those folks knew him by name. If not by name, they knew him probably by reputation, or they knew that he had probably been this way a long time, because the Bible said he had been that way since birth. So he was there and receiving of others, and probably would get some of the same accolades as people walked by, whatever his name was. They say hello to him, maybe drop a penny or two or something into his cup and go on about their business. But the thing about it, everyone realized and knew that this man was lame, knew. And I believe that God had a purpose for this particular man to be healed, because Peter and John, and they got to understand where Peter and John was coming from. These were two disciples that walked with Jesus, and they were with Jesus, and they were in one mind and one accord, and they were watching Jesus, and they were learning from the Lord, and they had seen Jesus move and heal and anoint in a number of different occasions. And you know, the thing about it, you know, what when Peter says, "Such as we have," you got to understand that he wasn't saying, "Look what I've got," or "Look who I am," or "Look how great I am." He was saying, you know, and this comes out in the sermon. We're talking about the miracle part now, and it's amazing that the miracle comes and precedes the sermon, but the sermon comes. Amen. And if I had to pick the choice between the two most important things, I would have to say that the sermon is even more important than the miracle. The miracle is a prelude to the sermon. Amen. But the sermon, I believe, is what Jesus had in mind. You know, because Jesus healed folks, and he continued to touch and heal folks. Amen. But when he healed folks, usually there was a sermon or a word of encouragement behind it, and the sermon comes a little bit later. But Peter and John was very quick to say, you know what? Don't look on us. It's not that we're anything. It's not that we're God that's come down, but it's the what the Lord has given us. And they took that opportunity not to build themselves up, not to say, you know what, this is Peter and John's healing caravan. They didn't say, no, send us so much money and we'll anoint a cloth and send it to you only if you give us a love offering, and we'll pray that you'll be healed, because that would have been building them up. But Brother Jim, they wasn't about building themselves up. They were lifting up Jesus. They were exalting Jesus, and that comes out in the sermon. And when I thought about this, you know, miracles are great and miracles are wonderful. Healings are absolutely great and wonderful, and we ought to thank the Lord for it. But every time that there's a miracle, there ought to be an opportunity for a sermon, or at least a testimony. Amen. If you've ever been touched, if you've ever been healed, don't quit testifying. Don't just testify about it one time. Amen. When God has healed you or touched you or anointed you, that ought to be on your lips. That'll be on your praise, on your heart, and on your mind constantly, because I'm a firm believer, and we can never, ever thank him enough for what he has done for us. I can't thank him enough for saving my soul. Amen. I don't testify enough, because Jesus brought me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a solid rock, and established my goings. That's precious and wonderful. I'm thankful in my heart, but it ought to come forth in my lips of praise. And certainly, if you've ever been healed of an affliction, if you've ever been healed of a disease or a sickness, or if a member of your family's ever been touched and healed, don't just testify one time. Continue praising the Lord and look for an opportunity to share that with someone. You know, not only is it wonderful to testify in church, but it's even more important to testify outside the church about the miracle, because that gives an opportunity for the sermon. Amen. And I love the sermon. So here's Peter and John. And listen, when all the people came to him and said in verse number 12, and when Peter saw it, what did he see? He saw the people focusing their attention on him and John. Amen. First Pentecostal church, when we see people focusing their attention on First Pentecostal church, we ought to be real quick to step up and give them a sermon about Jesus. Amen. When we try to promote, amen, certain things that man has done, we ought to understand that we can't do anything without Christ. I know the Bible says we can do all things through Christ, but without Christ, we can't do anything and we're nothing. So every time that somebody pats you on the back, every time that somebody shakes your hand, there's an opportunity for a witness, a testimony, or a sermon. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. So here's Peter. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel," all right, "you men of Israel," who was he talking to? He was talking to the Jews, wasn't he? God's anointed people. He was talking to the Jews. Isn't it amazing that they was the ones that needed to hear the sermon? And he said, "Why marvel ye at this?" What is so remarkable about it? Why are you looking at this? This is something that the Lord can do. Amen. If we have faith to believe. "Why marvel ye at this? Or why you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Can I remind you that there is no healing outside of the Lord? Amen. The Lord calls vessels and anoints people to administer the prayer and administer the faith. But let me tell you and let me remind you, according to the word of the Lord, the healing comes from God. Amen. It is God who heals us. And Peter was quick to point this out. No, don't focus on us. We're just men like you, except we have received of Jesus. Amen. I'm reminded of the song. It says, except I've been touched by the Master's strong hand. Amen. That he has instilled within us, that he has given us, the same power. Peter and John found that out. The same power that Jesus was able to speak to the lame, to speak to the blind man, to speak to those who were deaf and unstop those ears. He had instilled into Peter and John that they not only could heal folks through the power of the Lord, but also have an opportunity to tell them where that healing comes from. Now, when you testify about your healing, be quick to tell them where that came from. Amen. Yeah, we've anointed and prayed the prayer in the church, but it came from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that I went to an evangelist and he touched me and prayed for me, but let me tell you something. That healing came from the Lord. Amen. That strength came from the Lord. That anointing came from the Lord. See, with every miracle, there is an opportunity for a sermon. I thought about Kevin. I testify so many times about his healing and about the Lord touching him. But every single time, I do not want to fail to completely follow that up with, that's an opportunity to witness. That's an opportunity to give a sermon. You know, a sermon hadn't got to be 45 minutes long. Amen. A sermon can be a quick testimony of how the Lord came on the scene and touched you or made a way when all hope seemed lost and everything was falling down around you. But God came in. Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Peter said, we're just men like you are. Why are you marveling at this as though we'd done something great? But let me give this opportunity to tell you where that came from. Let me take this opportunity to introduce you to Jesus and tell you about Jesus. And listen, then the sermon begins to start. He said in verse number 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Now, what is so remarkable about that? Understand who his audience is. Who's his audience? The Jews, you men of Israel. I imagine there were some Sadducees there. I imagine there were some Pharisees there. There might have been some priests because it happened around the temple. It was some holy folks there. Amen. And they knew the Mosaic law. They knew the word of God. So to get their attention, he said, I want to tell you about the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Amen. And their ears perked up because they knew who he was talking about. But he doesn't end there. He goes on. Amen. And in that miracle comes one of the sweetest, most precious sermons of Jesus Christ that we find in the Bible. Amen. After the healing, after the anointing, he says, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. I want to point something out right here. Society today thinks all preaching needs to be with kid gloves and gentle spirits and itching ears and very soft palated so that the congregation can digest it real good. And there's too many congregations that's never got past the milk of the word. Amen. And they need the meat of the word. They need the strength. They need the power that Peter and John was talking about. And let me tell you something. He said, ye men of Israel, I want to tell you something. Your God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob has given his son, whom you delivered. Praise God. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, amen, the preacher said, you sinners. Boy, that got my attention because that's exactly who he was talking about. You say that in some churches today and they won't invite you back. Amen. But not Peter and John. They said, now listen, here's an opportunity. Yeah, it's a great miracle. Yeah, he's walking, he's leaping, he's praising God. But let me tell you who's responsible for that. Let me point you to Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, the miracle's great, but how about eternal life? Amen. How about the giver of life itself? How about the one that can save you? How about the one that can transform you? How about the one that can take even your sins be as scarlet? He can make them as white as wool. This is the message that I want to get to you. This is what I want to tell you about. Here's an opportunity to tell you of Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Well, that's some strong preaching. He's not preaching to the Gentiles. He's preaching to ye men of Israel. He's saying you're responsible for his death. You're the reason he was crucified. And all they wanted to talk about was who this man was that got healed. But they went on. And he said, ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Man, you're talking about some hard preaching. He said, it was you that did it. You did it. You took Barabbas instead of Jesus. Jesus, let me tell you, it wasn't Barabbas that healed this man. It wasn't Pilate that healed this man. It wasn't John that's standing here by me. It certainly wasn't myself, but it was the one you denied. It was the one you hung on the cross. It was the one that bled and died for you. Because of him, this man stands healed and well today. And Jesus is what I want to preach to you. Oh, the miracle was great, but the sermon was powerful as Peter began to speak. You denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. Boy, tell you what, he's not holding back. He's laying the law down. Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Praise God. You know, there was a reason that Peter and John ran to the tomb and saw the rock rolled away and went in and the tomb was empty. Praise God. There was a reason because they were eyewitnesses of the account. Amen. That Jesus said he'd do what he said he would do. He did it. In 3 days, he came forth out of the tomb. Glory to God. Alive and well. I want to tell you, Pharisees. I want to tell you, Sadducees. I want to tell you, men of Israel. You may have thought you put him out and he wouldn't come up. But in 3 days, he came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he is alive today, and he is the one that healed this person, and he is the one that can wash your sins away. What a wonderful, powerful message on the heels of a great miracle. Praise God. Every minister ought to take advantage of that opportunity when a miracle is performed, when prayer is made, when a testimony has been done. Sister Tabitha, I love that song over and over and over again. The Lord just keeps blessing. He keeps healing. He keeps making a way. Amen. And that ought to make us more in tune to preaching the power of the Lord and to preaching the cross. Amen. And pointing people's lives to Jesus. Amen. One of the best opportunities you'll ever have is to preach or tell somebody about Jesus is on the heels of a miracle. Amen. There's something precious. There's something anointing. There's something that begins to really mold you and make you pliable to God's Holy Spirit after he does a mighty miracle. And that's an opportunity to plant the seed. Amen. You know, so many times we plant seed on hard ground just hoping it'll spring up. But I ain't much of a farmer. But I do know the more you plow that ground up and turn it over, and break it up. Daddy used to call it breaking up new ground. Whew. Boy, that'd preach, won't it? Breaking up new ground. That's going out into the highways and the hedges, amen? Can I just say something? The church congregation shouldn't be new ground. I've been plowed so many times, I can't be new ground. Thank God for it. Amen. He's turned my soil over and over and over and over and over again. But new ground, there's new opportunities out there. There's people you live by. There's people you work by. There's people you go to school with. There's people, amen, that you know. There's people in your family that are new ground. And it's a perfect opportunity to plow that new ground and plant that seed deep into them and remind them over and over and over and over again. It's Jesus, amen, that saves your soul. It's Jesus that died on the cross for you. Oh, what a wonderful sermon on the heels of a great miracle. And his name through, listen, verse 16 is just, it's amazing. He said, we're witnesses. Listen to how he puts this. And his name, through faith in his name. I had to read that over and over again. And his name, through faith in his name. A lot of folks can give you the name of Jesus, but do you have faith in the name of Jesus?
Because let me tell you something. I've heard a lot of people. I see it on television quite a lot. They use Jesus as a slang. Something happens, they say, oh, Jesus. But let me tell you something. I can say the same thing, but have faith and say it in a much different way. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I can't do it, but Jesus, you can. Amen. There's something powerful about the name of Jesus, but you really want to see the power? Have faith in the name of Jesus. When you mention the name of Jesus, amen, expect storms to be calmed. Amen. Expect fires to be quenched. Expect doors to swing open. Amen. Those who have faith and know how to use the name of Jesus, it can see miracles. Amen. It can see healings and can see cancers go away when we have faith in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Now let me tell you something. What a wonderful opportunity for Peter to say, you know what? This man's been healed because we are men of faith. Because John and I's getting ready to start an evangelistic tour. Amen. But now Peter said, you know what? I'm going to tell you who's responsible for this. I'm going to tell you it's the same one you crucified. It is the Son of the living God. His name is Jesus. Amen. And it is through him. And it is by him. And it is because of him that this man has strength today. Amen. Jesus is the one that made it possible for this man to stand and come into the temple leaping and glorifying and praising God. Hallelujah. Not us. Not John. Not me. But it was Jesus. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now the word all there is very, very important because the Bible tells us back up there in some preceding verses that all the people ran together unto them in the porch. All the people was moved not only by the miracle, but was present for the sermon, was present for the word, was present when Peter and John began to speak with boldness and tell them about Jesus Christ. And it said, all them, it said, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also our rulers. With all of that hard preaching, he gives them an outlet. He says, I understand. It's through tradition. It's through the Mosaic law. It's through your upbringing and through your lack of knowledge that you didn't understand. That's all right. It's all right. It's all right if people don't understand the message when it's first preached. I didn't understand the message when it was first preached. I was raised in church. I heard the message over and over and over. But thank God, finally, it began to take root in my heart. Finally, it began to make sense up here. It was because the Lord loved me so much, even when I was unlovable. And he said, it's through your ignorance or through your unlearned ability to understand the scriptures. He said, but you did as your other rulers. But those things, everybody say those things, which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer. And he touched something that every man of Israel, every person of Israel, every priest of Israel could identify with, and that is the prophets. And who was the prophet speaking of? Exactly who Peter and John was declaring unto them. It's this Jesus. And he just told them that all that they spoke, all that they prophesied has been fulfilled in this Jesus. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity. Amen. On the heels of that mighty miracle. And then he gets down to the brass tacks, I guess. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't like to be called out for their sinful lifestyle. Amen. But can you recall? It was the calling out of our sinful lifestyle that pricked our heart. That caused us to repent. Amen. If they're hearing from the pulpit, it's okay. God loves you anyway. Anyhow. And He does. But that don't mean you can do anything. Amen. Repentance needs to be preached from the pulpits. Amen. Repentance. And be ye converted. Be ye sorrowful. Have a broken and contrite spirit. Amen. And turn your life over to Jesus. This is the opportunity. Amen. And you know, it came on a glorious event. It came after the healing of a lame man. See, some folks, and I don't want to be offensive here, but some folks just want the healing. Or just the feel-good spirit. Hey, there's nothing that feels any better to me than the power of the Holy Ghost coming down and worshiping and praising God. But can I remind us, don't forget the sermon. Don't forget the message, okay? And Peter said, not that I got to tell it. It's just my opportunity to tell it. It could have been one of the other disciples. It could be you. It could be me. It could be anybody given an opportunity to preach Jesus, then share the word of the Lord. Give an opportunity. Be able to tell them. Be able to point them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only the healer of the body, but the healer of the soul. Glory to God. Amen. The one that can restore. Like he said, what he said, the times of refreshing. Amen. It shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know what I like when he's, and I'm going to end there. What I like is when he went to there, he said, you know what? This ain't no new thing. You men of Israel, this is what he's been preaching since the world began. Go back to Genesis and wherever the scriptures were there, and it all points to the Lord. It all points to God's holy and divine plan. Amen. Since the fall of Adam, since the fall of man, there had to be reconciliation. Because that's how much God loves us. They say, oh, if he loved us, he wouldn't let this happen and he wouldn't let that happen. He made a perfect world. He made a utopia, and he put man in it. God didn't mess it up. Man did. But God in his infinite love, God in his immaculate mercy and grace, still made a way for man. Even after man messed it up, he gave his son, Jesus, to bleed and die for us. The perfect sacrificial lamb. This is the message. The message that can't change. The message that needs to go out. I pray tomorrow that messages will be preached. I pray, God, tomorrow that scriptures will be read. I pray tomorrow that the whole nation will be in one mind and one accord and look for a mighty move of God. Amen. Because all Jesus needs is an opportunity. Amen. And he can touch and he can move and he can change lives. Has he changed your life for you? For the better. For the better. Give him praise. My. Church, I love you. I appreciate you so much. I just love the scripture. I love that. I've preached on the lame man so many times. I preached it just about every way you could possibly preach it. But I don't want to end there because that's just, what do you call it? That's the appetizer. Amen. The full course is after that sermon was preached. A mighty, mighty sermon. Amen. And if you didn't really get into it tonight, go back and read that. What happened after the lame man was healed. How that the congregation was attentive. You know, God has a way of getting your attention. And Peter began to preach to them. He didn't tickle their ears. As my granddaddy said, he pinned them back. That's what my granddaddy used to say. The word of God pinned his ears back and got his attention. And he knew then that was the holy anointing of God. May God bless you. Would you stand tonight? Before we dismiss, I want to give you an opportunity. If you need prayer tonight, please come. This altar is always open. We'll pray with you. Anyone tonight? Before we dismiss.
Father, we pray since God on behalf of this situation. Father, wherever she is, God, I pray, Lord, that your hand of protection is upon her. But God, I pray, Lord, that you would allow her to reach her folks, her relatives, her mom, Lord, to let them know, God, that she's all right. God, I pray for protecting angels around her, God. Pray through the faith of Sister Brenda tonight, God, that you would undertake on behalf of this need. Keep her safe, God. Bring her back, Lord, to her family. Safe and secure, Lord, as only you can do. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. By faith in the power of the Lord, we call it done tonight. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise your name, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, God bless you. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. Love you all.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap. I love that title, A Miracle and a Sermon. What a wonderful message tonight. You know, as Brother Eddie said, preached on a scripture multiple times, and then when you reread it, and the God just enlightens you and just continues to let the Word just feed us and just continue for those that will gather around and be willing to be fed. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. Yes, Miss Tabitha.
Mm-hmm. She went home Monday.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Love to hear those testimonies of praise. Absolutely. Well, all right. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, don't forget about all the other ministries, our food closet, all the other things that are going forth. And we just ask the Lord just to bless us and bring us back at our appointed time. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again, dear Lord, for allowing us to feast on your word. Dear Lord, for allowing us our presence, dear Lord, just to be in this house, dear Lord, to hear your message tonight. Lord, thank you again for each and every family that's represented here, each and every individual. Continue to bless, dear Lord. Continue to strengthen. Lord, all the prayer requests that have gone forth, all the testimonies, dear Lord, we're thanking you for handling each and every situation. Lord, we're thanking you for your protection and for your healing. And, dear Lord, and for just opening up our hearts, dear Lord. For those that aren't able to be with us tonight, dear Lord, we ask that you'll just let them feel your presence, dear Lord, no matter where they are, whether it be for business, for pleasure, or they're sick and shut in, dear Lord, may they feel your holy presence. And, Lord, we do pray for Miss Judy tonight, dear Lord, and we just ask that you'll just touch that family and those daughters, dear Lord. Right now, as we lift you up, dear Lord, we just want to honor you. And, Lord, we want to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all have a great and wonderful rest of the week. Don't forget Sunday school.